The student ministry podcast you're about to hear is a lesson taught by Brother Kerry Schmidt during a Wednesday night teen Bible study. The series is entitled Avoiding the Traps of the Teen Years, and we hope this message will be a blessing to you. For more sermon resources, please visit preaching.lancasterbaptist.org.
This is our seventh trap, and it may be our last one for a little while. Hypocrisy. Okay, let's read it out loud. Ready, go. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Think about it. Look at it again. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. When everybody in the room thinking about this, look down at your Bible, look at it. You know, guys, look up here for a minute. Let me just, before we can get the Bible study. You know what sometimes our biggest struggle as teenagers is? Our attention. You will give your attention to a sports game, or to a video, or to a text message. Has it ever occurred to you that the devil does not want you to give any attention to God's word? And you come in here tonight, and you've got a million things on your mind, and you've got friends you haven't seen, and you want to talk to them, and I don't blame you. But can I tell you something? If your phone went off right now, you'd want to give it attention. Who's trying to get a hold of me? So let me try to help you understand something. God wants your attention, right? I don't want your attention. God wants your attention. And he wants to say something to you right now that's eternally more important than a text message or than whatever the person next to you is going to try to show you or scribble to you and try to get your attention, okay? Do your best right now to take your attention span and say, God, it's yours. I want to give my attention to you. Try not to get too distracted by the stuff going on around you. Listen, whoever's next to you, their silliness is going to be silliness in 40 minutes, okay? And you can give your attention to that then. But right now, just for a few minutes, and I'll hurry, please give your attention to the Bible. And let's just stop and think, how does this matter to me, okay? So this is Jesus talking, Matthew 15. Look at the verse. And this is his indictment. This is what he had to say about these people. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. Oh, hey, I love God. Yeah, I'm saved. Oh, yeah, I want to go. Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah. They draw nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. What's the rest of the verse? Say it. But their heart is far from me. Where is your mouth, your outward life, in contrast with your heart? Where is your heart? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time. And this is a special time to me, not only because we're opening your word and because it's senior high Bible study, and I just think it's awesome that we get to do this. But this is a special time for me because it may be the last time for a while. And so, God, I pray you'd help me to say what you once said. Help me to be brief. But let your word speak. Help us to learn. Help us to walk out of here with a better understanding of this trap that so many teens and adults just live in. And I pray that you'd help us to fight it on purpose. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's define hypocrisy. Number one, it is an actor portraying an assumed character. That's what the original word means. It's an actor portraying an assumed character. Literally in today's vernacular and today's usage of it, it's what we're talking about. Thinking or believing one thing and living or acting another. That is a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody who says, oh, this is what I, let me back up. It's not somebody who says. A hypocrite is somebody who believes or thinks one way, but in their life, in their words, in their actions, in their attitudes, in the thing they put on, they're acting another. Okay, so they're going through the motions. Their life is literally just a drama. It's not real. It's pretend. It's made up. It's fake. Guys, this to me is, I mean, we've talked about some important traps, but you guys hate hypocrisy. It's amazing to me Teenagers are among the most vehement group of people that despise hypocrisy. If your parents are hypocritical, you hate that. If I'm hypocritical, if you see duplicity in me, you hate that. If your teacher is hypocritical or inconsistent in some way, it just drives you crazy. Teenagers are vehement against hypocrisy, but they're also professionals at being hypocrites. This is what a hypocrite does. A hypocrite is so into his act, he can even point out and be bothered that other people are hypocrites. I mean, I've known teenagers that are absolutely through and through hypocritical in every area of their life, but their excuse for that is, well, Brother so-and-so or Mrs. so-and-so or my parents or my dad or my uncle is a hypocrite too. And so you hate it in other people, but you are among the people group in the world that can be the best at it in terms of trying to hide, listen very carefully, trying to hide what you really think or trying to hide what you really believe or how you really feel, and then putting on an act in your life to fit in or to get by in your life. So it's literally thinking or acting, thinking or believing one thing and living or acting another. You might think of it this way. Hypocrisy is a conflict between your beliefs and your actions. It is when your behavior does not agree with your beliefs. You are two people. In your heart, you are one thing, and in reality, you are another. Okay? That is hypocrisy defined. By the way, another word that the Bible uses for this that you might come across occasionally, and you might have a verse there, Proverbs 26:24. Do you have that in your outline? Look at it. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. The word dissembleth or dissemble is another word for hypocrisy. And what that word means is that to dissemble is, let's say you're in class and you go along with the teacher and with what he's saying or what he does or the fact that you're being, you know, taught or lectured or reprimanded about something. You're there and you're like, yes sir, yes sir, yes ma'am, yes sir, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir. You're going along with the motions. And then as soon as class is over, you get apart with a few of your friends and you just unloose. Yeah, that stupid teacher, I can't believe that. That is dissembling. I was joking about, you know, if I call you out, you're going to get mad at me and you're going to post something on Facebook. But that is dissembling. That is, oh, to your face, I'm, hey, how are you doing, brother? Hey, yeah, we're buddies. I hate him. Stupid idiot. That's dissembling. It's it's to your face, I'm one thing, but to your back, stab you in the back. Okay? And that's another Bible word for hypocrisy. It's to believe one way or feel one way, but then in front of you or in front of everybody else, I'm putting on an act. And I'm going to go through the motions. So another word is dissemble. Now, the opposite of this, and I think you may have this in your outline, maybe not, is authenticity. And I want you to write that word down. If it's not in your outline, write it down. The word is authenticity, because we're going to come back to that at the end. Authenticity is just, I'm real. I don't have to put on an act. I don't have to hide anything. I don't have to play a game. What you see is what you get. This is who I am. Catch me with my friends. This is still who I am. Catch me in private. This is who I am. Catch me in my bedroom. This is who I am. With my family, this is who I am. I am one person all the time. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not putting on. I'm not two-faced. You guys have lots of terms for it. But authentic, okay? Authenticity. Wherever you find me, wherever you find me, I'm going to be the same. I want you to think with me. Are you hypocritical or are you authentic? Are there two of you? I don't mean schizophrenia. I don't mean multi-personality disorder. I don't talk about that. Several of you have that. In fact, many of you have that. I'm talking about, are you one way in any context that in other contexts you are a different person? And I'm not talking about, you're a little more goofy with your friends and you're a little more serious with adults. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your beliefs. Is there a conflict between who you are in your beliefs and who you are projecting or acting to be in your life? Because that is what hypocrisy is. Now, we're going to talk about understanding the issues. There are two types of hypocrites, and I want to try to drive this home visually with you. Let me see here. I got some signs we're going to use here in a minute. Two types of hypocrites, especially when it comes to Christianity. Okay, we're going to look at both of them tonight. The first one says this, and I'm talking about Christian hypocrites, okay? I believe God's truth, but I don't want to live it, okay? So again, hypocrisy is I'm acting in a way that's different than I believe, okay? Remember that. That's what hypocrisy is. I'm believing one thing and living another or acting another, okay? So this person says, oh, I believe the Bible. I believe God's truth. I love God. I'm saved. I want to go to heaven. I believe God's truth. But I don't want to show people that. I don't want that to be evident. And so in private, yeah, I'm all good with God, or with people that are comfortable with that, yeah, I'll be good with God. But in public or before other people, I've got to hide that. I've got to act a different way because I've got to blend in. You're a hypocrite. Because you claim to believe one thing, but you're acting another way. By the way, this is not the people that Jesus was talking about. The group we read about that Jesus was talking about is a different group altogether. This group says, hey, no, I really, in my heart of hearts, I love God and I'm saved and I want to know his truth and I love the Bible and I believe the Bible. But get them around a group that's telling dirty jokes and they'll laugh. Get them around a place where they need to take a stand or risk losing some friendships and they will cave. Get them around a situation where they got to pray in public or witness to somebody or share or do anything to project that they're Christian. Get them around. This is the person who wants to be a Christian but wants to dress like the world, wants to look like the world, wants to blend in with the world because I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be the oddball. I'm just afraid. I want to blend in. Okay? This is hypocrisy. I believe God's truth, but I don't want to live it. But there's another kind of hypocrite when it comes to Christians, and it's this one. I don't believe God's truth, but I'll fake it. I don't believe God's truth, but I'll fake it. Okay? And by the way, there's both kinds of hypocrites here tonight. This is the person. You're here because your parents bring you. You might be saved, but that's as far as it ever went with you. God is nothing more than a ticket out of hell to you. All he is, yeah, I'm going to heaven. And basically from there, you're like, you know what? I don't really want to know anything else about the Bible or about God's plan or about God's will for my life or how God wants me to live. I don't really believe that stuff. Yeah, I can't tell you how many teenagers I've had this conversation with. Hey, Brother Schmidt, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross. I believe I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. But I don't believe all that other stuff. I don't really believe that rock music is wrong. I don't believe it's wrong to have sex before I get married. I don't believe homosexuality is wrong. I don't believe abortion is wrong. I don't believe all that stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with dressing immodestly. I don't think there's anything wrong with going to a party. I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking. I really don't believe all that stuff. But since my parents bring me, or since I'm in the school, or since I go to youth group, I will fake it so that I can fit in. I'll even sign the little silly piece of paper that I will agree while I'm in the school to live this way. I don't buy into all this. In fact, I can't wait till I'm 18 or 19 because, man, I am out of here. Can't wait. I can't wait till I graduate because I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to dress the way I want to dress. I'm going to act the way I want to act. I want to live the way I want to live. I can finally do my own thing when I'm on my own. That is, you're a hypocrite. You are believing one thing in your heart and you are projecting another on the outward. Now, I don't know who is what in this room. In fact, one of the most frustrating things, this is a little bit of a rabbit trail, one of the most frustrating things about being a youth pastor is that sometimes you guys know better who the hypocrites are in the youth group than I do because you spend a lot of time together and you drop your guard. And sometimes people's guard is up when I'm around. So I might think, oh, this guy, these people are doing awesome and they're great. And then you might be in the locker room with that same person the next day and hear them telling dirty jokes and curse words. And a lot of times, there's a lot of disparity in the youth group because person A knows that person B is totally fake. And sometimes that's person A's reason for just not growing at all. Well, look at that person. Everybody thinks that person's all great, and look what they do. And you hate hypocrisy. But there's two kinds. There are those that say, I believe, but I don't want to show it. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to stand. I don't want anybody to know. I'm just going to kind of be undercover. That's hypocritical. The other kind of hypocrite, maybe this one's more common, I don't know, is the people that say, you know, I don't really believe all that stuff, but I'll play the game. I'll do it just to play the game and fly under the radar until I graduate or until I'm out of the youth group or till my parents are off my back. Either way, it's a losing proposition. Either way, it's miserable, okay? Now, I want to do some little illustrations here and have a case study, okay? I'm going to borrow some people. So we're gonna set up some scenarios here. All right, case one, here we go. Larry, you're going to come be my helper, all right? Come up here for a minute. Case one, here's a guy. You're going to hold this sign up, Larry, okay? Just going to hold it just like this, okay? This sign says, I believe God's word, but I blend in with the world, okay? So here he is. This guy says, hey, I believe the word of God. I believe the Bible, but I blend in with the world. So he watches all the shows. He knows all the songs. He could tell you all the last winners of American Idol every year. He just says he's in the world. He just is in it. He knows all the meanings of all the words. He knows, I mean, he's online. He knows everybody's Facebook situations. He's even the bad people. He doesn't mind if everybody he knows on Twitter or Facebook are cursing and cussing. He doesn't mind if he's at a party and they're drinking. He may not do it all, but he doesn't mind at all. He's just blending right in with the world. But he says he believes in the Word of God. Okay, hold it up a little bit over your head for a minute. I won't make you hold it there the whole time. So, question. Is he a hypocrite? Everybody says yes, he's a hypocrite? Because he believes one thing and he's living another, okay? So he believes God's word, but he's blending in the word with the world. So I would agree with you that yes, he is a hypocrite. Case number two. Let me see here. Josh, come up here. Case number two. And I'm going to put you over here. This sign says, I don't believe God's word. Hold it up here for a minute. I don't believe God's word, but I act like I do. So if I come to, Josh is going, he's going teen soul winning. He signed up for the group. He's given to Strive in January. He's filling out a commitment card. He doesn't really have a heart for God. He's not doing this because he loves God. He's doing it because everybody around him is doing it. He's doing it because he's imagining that I'm going to look at his card and go, oh, isn't Josh a good Christian? Oh, he's got the tie on Wednesday night. He's got the haircut. He's got his Bible. And he's taking notes. Why? Because he wants me and other people to believe that he's got it all together, that he's a good Christian. So in his heart, you're never going to find this guy in his bedroom alone with God with his Bible open. You're just not going to find that. You're not going to find this guy sitting off by himself at school somewhere reading his Bible or memorizing a verse or talking to God. You're going to see him acting it out. You're going to see him participating in everything visually. Oh, he's going to look right. He's going to walk right. He's going to talk right. He's going to stay out of trouble. He is going to fit the mold. He might even go to Bible college. But he's just doing it because everybody else around him is kind of in that motion, in that flow. He doesn't really have a heart for God. He doesn't really have a walk with God. He has not really personally gotten to know God. He's just putting on a play. And a lot of Christian teenagers get very good at this. Very good. Do you guys realize it's really not hard to figure out how to get by, say, at Lancaster Baptist School or Lancaster Baptist Church? I mean, dress right, walk right, talk right, live right. And you know what everybody's going to do? Hey, look at that! Now, I'm not saying don't do all those things. What we're talking about is motives. We're talking about reasons. Why are you doing what you do? Are you doing what you do so everybody around you go, yay! And really your heart is a million miles away? Or are you really in love with God to the point that you are appreciating your environment, yes, and participating in it, soul winning and strive and modesty and all of these things because you love God and you know those are His values. Why do you do what you do? Are you doing it tonight really as an act and really in your heart there's no real connection with God that's the spark plug behind it? It's just shallow play. Here's the danger. The danger is, number one, you're missing an authentic relationship with God. You're missing what really could be between you and Jesus. While you're playing your act, and everybody's clapping for you, patting you on the back, and thinking what a great teenager you are missing this depth of, wow, I know God, He knows me, I love God, He loves me, I walk with God, He's walking with me, He's teaching me, He's growing me, He's real, and I'm really His, and wow, I really love God. You're missing out on this incredibly awesome relationship that you could have just so you can play fake so everybody around you will be impressed by you. That is a miserable, miserable life. The first real sad part is that you miss that relationship. The second real sad thing is there's kind of come a day where this breaks down. You can put this sign, just hold it down lower so your arms don't hurt. This breaks down. Let me tell you why. You're going to turn 18 or 19. You're going to graduate from high school. You're going to be working at Taco Bell or Dillard's. And nobody around you is going to be expecting you to be a good Christian. Nobody around you is expecting you to be spiritual. And you're going to come to this crisis moment where it's suddenly, who am I? And you're not going to have an answer because all you've done for 6 or 8 years is act. And when that crisis moment comes, when you either give in to temptation or you stand with God, you're going to give in and you're going to make some really bad and dumb decisions. Why? Because you're going to, why continue the act? Nobody's around to see it. Nobody's around that's expecting me to act. These people don't expect me to be a good Christian. They don't care if I'm a good Christian. So I don't need to continue my act. And you're going to discard your faith, which really never was your faith, but you're going to discard it like an old shirt that got a hole in it. And you're going to walk into a life without God that's going to wreck your future. So, case one, is he a hypocrite? Yes or no? Yes. Case two, is he a hypocrite? Yes or no? Yes. Let me tell you what the devil does. The devil tries to make us think about hypocrisy in a way that really isn't biblical hypocrisy. So, Morgan, come up here. You are case number three. Okay? You are the schizophrenic weird. No, just teasing. Okay. This sign says, I believe God's word, I struggle, and sometimes I don't want to do right. I believe God's word, I struggle, and sometimes I don't want to do right. So this guy, sometimes he doesn't even really want to go to church. He struggles. Sometimes this guy doesn't want to go soul winning. Sometimes when they come back around to Strive every January and fill out commitment cards and he gets that commitment card, he's like, man, I don't really want to do this year. But he believes God's word, and so he does it. I mean, Saturday rolls around in the soul winning group, and he's had a long week, and he's like, I really don't want to go soul winning. I really don't want to. But he gets up and he goes, and he feels bad while he's going because he feels bad because he didn't really want to go. Wednesday night, he didn't really want to go to Bible study, but he came. He didn't really want to go read his Bible, but he did. Is he a hypocrite? Now think with me. He's going soul winning, but he doesn't want to. Is he a hypocrite? You guys, some of you don't know. Some of you are like, I am not moving my head. I am not moving my head. The answer is no. He is not a hypocrite. Now listen. This is what the devil tells you. There's not a teenager in here, there's not an adult in here that doesn't deal with this. Every time you don't want to do right, and you do it, you do right. Or every time right is a struggle for you, the devil jumps on your shoulder and says, see there, you're a hypocrite. Because if you were real, you would want to. If you were real, this would be easy. You'd always be sowing. You'd always be giving. You'd always be, if you were real, you'd always be reading your Bible. It would never be a struggle. And he takes the struggle that every Christian has. Everybody that's ever been saved has this struggle. And the Bible validates it and verifies it and tells us all about it. And the devil takes that struggle and says, see, because you struggle, you are a hypocrite. And what I want to tell you, one thing I want to tell you loud and clear tonight is, that is not the definition of hypocrite. And when the devil jumps on your shoulder because you are struggling and says, see, if you were struggling, if you, because you're struggling, you're a hypocrite, you can look him right back in the eye and say, wrong answer. That is not a hypocrite. Think with me. Is he saved? Case three, is he saved? Yes. Does he have the Holy Spirit in his heart? Yes. So the Holy Spirit would lead him to, for instance, share the gospel with a friend, whether he wants to or not. The Holy Spirit would lead him to give or to read his Bible. Am I right? The Holy Spirit would want him to do these things, correct? Okay. His flesh won't want to do any of them. So, think with me. Now I'm going to confuse you. Your brain, I can tell, it's getting ready to go. It's gonna just go right now. When he does what is right, even though his flesh is telling him he doesn't want to, he is acting consistent with his beliefs. Listen, hypocrisy is acting inconsistently with my beliefs, not my feelings. Hypocrisy is not about wanting to do the right thing. It's about doing the right thing that I know is right in my heart. So this man wakes up and says, I should go soul winning. I don't want to go, but I'm going to go. He is doing what he believes is right, and he is not a hypocrite. Even though his feelings are saying, man, stay in bed, stay in bed. Just because you struggle, that does not make you a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody that acts differently. He acts inconsistently with his beliefs. You guys can give me these signs back and be seated. Thank you. Do you get that? Hello, are you guys with me? I can't tell you how that helps me. Because the devil wants to tell me every time I don't want to do the right thing, or every time I struggle with the right thing, the devil wants to tell me that I'm a hypocrite. And that's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is believing one thing and doing another. Let me tell you what hypocrisy really is spiritually. Coming back to Morgan's case in the middle here. If Morgan says, in my heart, I believe that rock music is wrong. And he struggles and struggles and struggles and chooses to listen to right music. That's not hypocrisy. He struggles and struggles and struggles and listens to rock music. That's when he's being a hypocrite. He says, wait, it's not the struggle that makes him a hypocrite. It's the outcome. It's the decision. It's does he act in spite of his feelings? Does he do the right thing in spite of his struggle? Does he walk with God? Does he do right in spite of what his emotions and his feelings are shouting at him? Now, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 23. I want you to see a couple of quick examples, and then we're going to wrap this up. First story of hypocrites. And probably more than any other people group you're going to find in the Bible, Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites, okay? And we're going to try to hurry through this. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 13, all the way down through verse 29. We're not going to read the whole thing, but over and over and over he says, and look at the first phrase of verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, what's the word? Hypocrites. Jesus begins to preach to these religious leaders. Now let me tell you who they were. They were the highest spiritual, religious, elite people of the day. If you had asked any Jewish person walking the streets, who are the best, who are the greatest, who are the most holy, who are the most godly, everybody would have said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're the leaders, they're the religious elite. Okay, they're the best ones. They're the ones closest to God. They're the ones walking the most with God. But here it is. They were masterful at acting close to God, but being far from him. They had no closeness with God. It was all self-centered for their own gain, and Jesus called them on it. Now here it is. Here's your blanks. The hypocrites put on a show. They put on a show for others to see. Matthew 6, 2. This is what the Pharisees did. They walked around. Hey, look how much I give. Look how much I pray. Look how good I am at keeping the law. Look how holy I am. Look how awesome I am. They put on a show. Secondly, hypocrites lift up themselves by putting others down. I want you to be thinking about your own behavior. They lift up themselves by putting others down. Yeah, so-and-so, she's... When's the last time you backstabbed somebody, gossiped about somebody, talked mean about somebody behind their back? You're like a Pharisee. When's the last time you stood with two or three people that were doing that? Even if you say, well, I don't do that, I just listen to it. You're like a Pharisee. That's what they did. They had to lift themselves up. Yes, basically, if I've got to do this, come up here, Josh and Morgan. Let's say these guys are both my friends, but they're my friends at different times. So Morgan's my friend in the morning, and Josh is my friend in the afternoon. Because I'm with him in class in the morning, and then I'm with him at football practice in the afternoon. So in the morning, I'm like, yeah, Josh yesterday at football practice, he's such an idiot. He's so... Now listen, this is what some of you do. You justify it, you rationalize it, you've got a reason for it. But here's what I'm doing, okay? This is what it boils down to. I am lifting myself up to him by putting him down. I never understood that when I was your age. But the outcome of this is he thinks more highly of, if he listens to me and receives what I'm saying, I'm basically saying my judgment of him is this. It is negative. It is low. So if you accept my judgment of him, that means you think more highly of me than him. And because now you think less of him, you now think more of me. So the net outcome is I've lifted myself up and I've put him down. So I did that to him in the morning and talking to him. Now I'm in good with him and I've lifted myself up in his mind. So now the afternoon comes around and we're at football practice. And we're, you know, palling around. I'm like, hey, yeah, Morgan, do you even like him? I can't stand him. He dresses like a retard. And, whatever he said that annoyed me. But it's same thing. I'm telling him, receive my judgment of him so that you think more highly of me and less of him. Less of him means more of me. And I, you can get in this habit all the time. And this is what the Pharisees did. They were always working the angles, putting somebody else down to lift themselves up, to maintain their political control. But in your life, it's not political control. Listen, in your life, it's social control. In your life, it's I got to keep him endeared to me in this friendship, so I got to get him to think negative of all those other people that might be his friend, so I can be his main friend, so I can stay in kind of control of this. And you end up playing these little political, you guys can be seated, these little social, stab others in the back so other people feel better about me so I can retain control of my little circle. And that is hypocrisy. That is exactly what the Pharisees were. Listen, if there's anybody in this room that you've trashed, talked down about with anybody else, you're a hypocrite. Well, they did. I don't care what their reasons were. If you had a need to talk negatively about anybody else in this room, there was only one reason for it. Unless you were counseling them through their spiritual problem to their face, there was only one reason for it. So somebody else would think less of them and more of you. And if you didn't want them to think less of them and more of you, you wouldn't say anything, or you'd say something positive. You wouldn't need to say something negative. You wouldn't need to find the negative and bring it out. And this is what we're so good at as teenagers. Let me find negative. Aha! Found something negative about him. Let me go show it to all these guys. Him. You see this? Him. Aha! I found negative in him. And now I feel better about me, and everybody else thinks better about me because he's stupid. Let me go around and find more negative, 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 negative. Ah, look at her, 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 her. And that's what you do. Hey, let me let you in on a little secret, guys. Everybody in this room could do that to everybody else in this room. If we look hard enough at everybody in this room, we're going to find negative. You look hard enough at me, you'll find negative. You don't have to look hard. I'm ugly. I got cancer. Him. No, you just don't have to look hard. Everybody's human. Everybody has, and it is the height of hypocrisy. It is the height of arrogance when you decide that you're going to be this kind of person. This is who I am. I find negative. And I talk about it. I show it off in everybody else so I look better. You stink. If that's how you think. And there's some of you in here, that's your life. Your whole life is... Oh. I don't even belong with these people. I just, and oh, God, bless me if I can work my way into your people group. Will you accept me? Okay, I guess so. And so now it's, come here, Larry. Now it's, he's worked his way into my elitist society. I'm telling you, there's people in this room. This is how you look and act every day of your life, and you're so used to doing it that you've forgotten. You've lost touch with reality. You would never go introduce yourself to an unsaved visitor. Oh. No, me and him, we are elite. We laugh at stuff nobody else gets. We understand that everybody else has negative. And we are on a higher plane. Some of you wear it on your face. Some of you, it's just there. It stinks. I'm telling you, it stinks. Jesus would call you a whited sepulcher. He would call you a grave that's painted white on the outside but full of dead men's bones. On the outside, you look good. You look polished. But your heart is arrogant and proud and stench. That's what the Pharisees were. Hypocrites claim to be one thing and live another. Last few blanks here and then we're going to go on. Hypocrites, hypocrisy, now this is important. Hypocrisy is the result of a total lack of intimacy with God. Hypocrisy is, and guys, if you don't get anything, get this one. Hypocrisy is the result of a total lack of intimacy with God. When you're walking around with your nose in the air, like everybody around you, like you're better than all of them, and you got to talk to your friend about everybody else, let me tell you what that says about you. You don't spend time with God. And you're not close to God. And you're not in a relationship with Him that's real. You know why? You know why? You say, well, how does that connect, Brother Schmidt? Listen, when you spend time with God, you can't fake it. Because God knows you. When you are with God and in His presence, there's no, oh, hello, God. I mean, You don't fake it in front of God. When you come to God, you say, oh, I know who I am. I know perfectly who I am. Woe is me. I am sinful. I am broken. I am human. And you are God. And I can't fake anything in front of you. I am as real and sincere as I could possibly be, God. I can't put on an act. When you spend time with God, you know who you are. You know what you are. And you don't think bad about other people all the time because you know who you are. You don't have to trash talk everybody else because you know who you are. And when you have a real sense of who you are in God's presence, intimacy with Him, you don't go around snubbing everybody else. You don't go around looking down on everybody else. You don't go around gossiping about everybody else because you know who you are with God, and you don't even deserve God's love or salvation to begin with. So who am I to point a finger at him or her? Who am I to gossip? Who am I to scorn somebody else? I'm nothing but dust in God's presence. Let's move on to number two, and that is a story of authenticity. And I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're almost done, guys. We're almost done. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So the Pharisees were the biggest examples of hypocrites in the Bible. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we come to a man named Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1, Paul taught Timothy in verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity of a pure heart and of a good conversation and of what? I think it's in your outline. And of what? Faith un what? Unfeigned. Go over to chapter to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and look at this verse. And it's in your outline as well. Chapter 1 and verse 5. Now the second book later in Timothy's life, he says, when I call to remembrance the what? The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. I don't have time to tell you Timothy's life story and all that we know about Timothy, but I'll tell you this. Timothy was a young man who became a Christian, who spent time in the Word of God. The Bible says that he knew the Holy Scriptures from a child. He was a teenager who understood the Bible, who spent time with God, and a result of his walk with God was that his faith was unfeigned. Listen, that means it was authentic. The word unfeigned means it wasn't fake. It wasn't phony. It wasn't an act. God himself, in the pages of the Bible, says, this young man, Timothy, if you want to know, he is the real deal. You're going to find him walking with me. You're going to find him knowing my word. And you're going to find that he acts out in his life what he really believes in his heart. His faith is real. Now, let's move on. Number three, and I want to give you a key statement here. Here it is. An authentic life naturally flows from spending time in the presence of God. An authentic life naturally flows from spending time in the presence of God. You know why? Because God's presence, and this is your next two blanks, produces humility. It's not on the screen. God's presence produces humility and sincerity. If you're sitting here tonight and you're going, Brother Schmidt, man, the Holy Spirit is all over me right now. I am a hypocrite. I'm a total hypocrite. I am faking it. Can I tell you the cure? You get back to walking with God. You get alone with God and you open His Word and you let His Holy Spirit search your heart and you let His Word do its work, and it will produce real, look up here, real humility and real sincerity. You'll be the person in the youth group that everybody goes, man, he's the real deal. She is real. Every now and then I have teenagers that say, well, Brother Schmidt, all those people that you think are so good, they're hypocrites. And I go, wait, time out. You mean to tell me there's nobody in the whole youth group that's not real? Well, no, there some are. Okay, wait. So you agree there are some people in this youth group that love God and they live it out and it's real to them. Do they exist? They always say, well, yeah. And I guarantee you, 100% of the time, the people that could be said about, if you find them alone and examine their private life, listen, you will find a walk with God. When I spend time with God, I get a real image, perspective of who I am in God's sight, and I don't need to go out and pick on, bully, arrogant, proud. I don't need to snub. I just want to love everybody because God loves me. And it just produces this authentic humility and sincerity. Living in God's presence does that. It brings reality out of you. The best defense, I'm going to read this and then we're done. The best defense against a hypocritical life is to spend time in the presence of God. He gives you perspective on yourself, your sin, your standing before Him, and your unfeigned faith in living. Here it is, key statement. God delights, read it out loud with me. God delights and takes pleasure not in, but in, not in what? Not in perfection, but in what? Look at it. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to be real. And just because you're not perfect, it doesn't mean you're fake. It is when you are premeditating, I'm going to live one way, but in my heart be far from God. That's when you cross the line. Look at the conclusion here very quickly. What you need to decide, I must have an authentic private walk with God right now. I must be one person, the same person behind closed doors that I am in public. I refuse to act my way through life. What a waste. What a stinking waste of a life. Just put on an act. I must have a realistic view, a humble view of myself before God and men. And I must continually seek God's help to align my beliefs with my behavior. Now, here we go. Joel, come grab this. Hold this up. Keegan, come stand over here. Hold this up. Joel's got a sign. Hold him up real high. Joel's got a sign in his hand that says what? Pharisee. Keegan's got a sign in his hand that says what? Timothy. If the Holy Spirit, not me, not Pastor, not Brother Bowler, not Brother Chapel, if the Holy Spirit, we're going to go through this room one person at a time and put you under one of those signs. Which one would he put you under? Not me, not Pastor. If the Holy Spirit were going to put you under one of those signs, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about you struggle. I'm talking about you believe this, but you're living this. Which sign would he put you under? Father, I thank you for this time in your word. We've seen a lot of verses. We've seen a lot of principles. We know that you hate hypocrisy just as much as we do, but we fall into it so easily. Lord, I pray that as teenagers we would choose to believe the truth and live the truth and let it all flow from our private walk with you because we can't fake it in your presence. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Student Ministry 127 podcast. For more sermon resources, visit preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. And for information about West Coast Baptist College, visit wcbc.edu.